Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. My name is Todd Embley, and I have a huge, huge surprise for everybody. My co-host Ryan is back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, I am so excited to be back.
So much.
I know.
So much.
I can sense it in all those other podcasts.
It's so great to have you back. Yeah. So, so you're back. You were doing mocks over Taipei, and now that's done, and batch one is over. You did your demo days, and now China Accelerator is up and running. It's going to be week two. Mm-hmm. Last week, we had a very special guest coming over to China Accelerator, and that was the man himself, Sean O'Sullivan. SOSV, the Accelerator VC. SOS stands for Sean O'Sullivan.
Yep, it does.
And he's the guy who funds literally out of his own bank account all the accelerators that we do throughout SOSV, China Accelerator being the first one that was ever started.
Yeah, he is a legend in the investment space. And what he's
just
what
an
he's
amazing
done.
Dude.
I mean, his first startup when he was 21 years old in college, and he built a massive. He invented searching for maps and
mapping
on software. on your computer. Yeah. Any digital screen, a map comes up. He invented that. Yeah. Built it at one point over 1,000 people. It went public.
Yeah. Like, and then what did he do with his money? He did not spend it. He didn't sit on it. He put together a little super angel fund and just wanted to be more of an entrepreneur and just kept doing it.
And he's been investing for
and he was,
over 20
and he was
years.
Very successful at it. So he's, and then he just keeps repurposing all that money right back into the fund, which is why SOSV is an evergreen fund, meaning it just continues to go forever and ever, which is great for
his
us.
His mindset, his basis is about humanitarian. It's about, I mean, he talks, he always says this a few times, you know, I'm going to make things a better. I'm gonna invest in the culture. I'm gonna invest in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yep.
Give people more opportunity, access to education, and then you know, on the side, I'll make money because he looks at the long view.
Yeah.
He looks at it in 20, 30
years. As long as he
can
travel around and fund the programs and stuff that are helping entrepreneurs around the world and make a difference.
Yeah.
If he's got the money to be able to keep doing that, that's really his only need to really be that profitable. As long as he's able to support everything he's been. I mean, there's over 60 people full time now with SOSV around the world. For a fund, that's really big. Yeah. That's just a lot of people. But he loves finding great people and then getting involved. And so, you know, it was just a great chat about, you know, why he came to China and, you know, when he got here, you know, why do an accelerator? Why, you know, you're back 2008, 2009 chatting about building an accelerator in China. That's
what,
crazy.
What
talk.
Is an accelerator
crazy
back
talk.
Then?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
exactly, because there was maybe like 50 around. So, you know, it was just a very interesting concept. And it was an amazing conversation with an amazing person, with my amazing co-host back with me.
What? Aww.
Yeah. Full of love today.
You know, I'm glad that you can't see my tears of happiness through this.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just so good to be back.
So let's get back. Let's just jump right into it.
Yes, let's do it. Let's jump right back into it. And thanks, guys. Thanks, listeners. And I'm really happy to be back.
Enjoy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast of the China Startup Pulse. I am here with my co-host, Ryan, as mentioned, and we have a very, very special guest with us today. He is the man behind everything that we have been doing at China Accelerator forever, Mr. Sean O'Sullivan from SOSV, the Accelerator VC. And yeah, it's really exciting. We have him here for 36 hours, which is, you know, 30 hours more than most people get him. So we're super happy about that. Ryan, why don't you give everybody a little bit of a brief about his background?
Absolutely. So Sean is really interesting. He actually started his first startup when he was 21 in college. And it was a small startup called MapInfo, which grew to a massive success and built it in 7 years. At one point, over 1,000 employees, and it went public. And he left in about 1994. After that, about 1995, he started SOS Ventures, which is his own. You know, he started it all himself and did all the books himself for a long time, and it actually ballooned into this amazing thing that it is today. And he's actually a rock star. He played in a band.
I wouldn't call me a rock star by any stretch. And by the way, we call ourselves SOSV these days, not SOS Ventures.
Oh, SOSV. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a new branding exercise.
Yeah.
SOSV, the Accelerator VC.
Yeah, his band, Janet Speaks French, topped the charts, top 40, I believe. And in one place, it was number one.
Well, actually, we were in the top 40 on about 80 radio stations in the United States, and we were top, you know, number one for one weekend in New Hampshire. But
you're number one.
Fleeting success.
Yeah.
And it was not really that big of a deal because 80 radio stations in the United States is like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
There's 3,000, 4,000 radio stations. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, we were a rounding error to fame.
Well, he's not only humble, but he's an amazing humanitarian, and he's done Jumpstart. He's one of the big lead investor in Khan Academy, and also a helicopter pilot, and one of the backers of Kodo Dojo.
You told a lot of lies and a lot of truth in that last statement.
Oh, really?
No, there's just, you know, little distortions here and there. Although, you know, mostly true. So
mostly true.
We'll just let it lie that it's mostly true.
Okay. Let's jump to the beginning of your adventures in Asia. Okay. So as far as I understand it, because I don't want to say anything for truth or not truth here, you know, I was friends with Cyril.
Yeah.
Who basically co-founded China Accelerator with you.
Yeah.
And met him. You know, I was friends with him up in Dalian. We used to hang out. He was watching me flail around in my entrepreneurial activities from his comfortable chair at TBWA. And then one day he tells me, you know, he's kicking my butt at NBA Jam or something. And he tells me, oh, hey, Najee, I'm going to start an accelerator. And I said, what the F's an accelerator? And he's like, oh, it's this thing, whatever. And I met this guy and this whole thing. So, you know, let's start with what brought you to China in the first place?
Mm. Well, I, you know, with MapInfo, actually, we had a presence in China, you know, for whatever, since the early 90s, probably. We're MapInfo, we put street maps onto computers. So yep. That was a big thing. And all the maps in China actually were created by ex-MapInfo employees. Mm. So it had some historical impact in China as well. You know, so I actually had never been to China until 1998 before, which is long enough ago that there were really no skyscrapers. Like if you went to Beijing, it was all...
Pudong was farmland.
Yeah, farmland.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, but... So I saw it sort of before, but before this huge boom has happened. Back in 2007 or something like that, I came back to China to set up a division of a European company I was running called Avego. And we were having a problem in Europe just sourcing the technical talent for the software engineering that we needed to get done. We needed to massively expand our engineering teams. And that talent was widely available in China and still is widely available in China. There's a tremendous amount of the smartest folks that are in society in China that are directed immediately to engineering as their first option rather than the services industries, which are so popular in the West. People will choose to become, you know, doctors and lawyers rather than become, you know, the manufacturing industries like the, you know, so of your top 10, students, you know, I think seven of them, go into engineering in China versus maybe two in the West, you know? So it's kind of crazy, the differential. So there's a lot of great talent, technical talent here in China, and we were looking to use that and leverage that, and that's why I came to China in the first place.
Mm-hmm. As the story goes, you were walking around one of the IT parks, and the property management were showing you office spaces, and then they decided to run you up to where Cyril was to show you kind of his innovative space and give you an idea of what you could do with your space, and that's how you two met?
Yeah, so I was looking, you know, I'd like to do a little, lend my hand in the space design of some of the spaces that we develop. And so I was just looking at some of the better constructed space, and Cyril had done some really inventive work for TBWA in the same office park, in the same building that I ended up setting up in. So yeah, it was sort of happenstance that we, Cyril and I met, but not happenstance either. When you look for really great designers and really great innovators, a lot of times those are the same people you want to be doing business with at any rate.
So you guys, you two came up with this, I think, through 2009 conversations, because it was 2010, January 2010, the China Accelerator, I think, was actually registered here in China. And then it was that spring that Cyril went to Techstars Boston to be a mentor in residence for the 3 months. Came back September 1st, 2010, batch one. Wow. And that's when we were off and running.
That's right. So, yes, I guess Cyril sort of gave us, we had gotten, you know, Cyril is the father here of the China Accelerator program in terms of being on the ground and implementing it. Incredibly talented.
All the work.
Yeah, incredibly talented guy.
Yeah.
So we would have, we did agree to get together in the end of 2009 and plan this all out. So that was how it started.
Were you looking to start an accelerator when you went on that first fateful trip? Was that kind of the purpose of that office space?
Or no, actually. So the reason for, I had actually been looking for many years before starting SOS, after SOSV existed before becoming the Accelerator VC, we existed just as a man with a checkbook, effectively. I would just go around as a super angel writing, you know, six digit checks typically to, lots of different startups that I believed had, good shots. And I was highly successful at it. And so that was what led to us expanding and then having to establish a back office, which we have in Ireland, with a staff and other investment partners. So when I was figuring out, you know, how best to really do innovative investing, I wasn't happy with the state of the way that VC investing is done in general. For one reason, there's just not enough support that's given to early stage entrepreneurs, and there are other models that existed. I looked at Bill Gross' Idea Lab, which is really a predecessor to the accelerator sort of thing that started in the 90s. Dean Kamen had his sort of very spinning off lots of companies that were sort of under his own personal brand. Those kinds of things. I looked and talked to all those, you know, super successful entrepreneurs before determining that the accelerator model, you know, Brad Feld, who was instrumental to Techstars, obviously fundamental to Techstars, and I had been co-investing since the 90s, actually. When he spun up, and Sean Broderick, who I invested in the Techstars Boston, when that spun out of Techstars, not Denver, Boulder, thank you.
Boulder, yeah.
Techstars started in Boulder. And their next city, their first attempt at sort of going global was in Boston, which is still one of their most successful, if not, you know, the most successful programs globally for Techstars. So Sean Broderick was the guy who ran that. I'd invested in Sean Broderick in his first startups, a couple of time. So, I was enough connected with how what the ways of doing this were that, it was, obvious to me that the model of the accelerator was, far superior than other models that had come before it.
But China.
Yeah, exactly. Same question. Literally exact same China. Words I was going to say.
China had, I mean, such an unknown beast.
Right.
Yeah. And you were still relatively new to China. That had to be a leap of faith.
Yeah, well, not really. So, you know,
you're just like,
yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a, you know, obviously it measured. Is. China is a very difficult environment to do business in if you don't have some great guides to help you cut through the systems.
Yeah, even the best ideas with the best intentions really go awry in China.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, if Google can't succeed, if, you know, almost every Western company except Microsoft has really had their heads handed to them on a platter.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, I get that there's risks. but, you know, on the other hand, there's huge opportunities where there are risks. And no matter what, you know, if you can provide value to entrepreneurs, you're going to be able to get ahead of the game. So, you know, just taking the accelerator model, which, you know, was starting to work and only really just starting to work at that time, I guess YC and Techstars were existing. Other than that, there was nobody else.
Well, that's so
David
forward.
Just gotten his off the ground, I think, as well.
500 startups?
Yeah, I think in 2009.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, and we were an initial investor in 500 as well.
LP, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, so just looking at it, it was, you know, the very early days of that movement, but, you know, the reason why it's like, duh, you know, is
what's the
if only people could see what he was doing right now.
I know, yeah.
You know, but you asked, like, you know, but yeah, you know, China, but
yeah,
China,
yeah.
I mean, it's you know, well, okay, none of the other guys had access to China. I had access to China, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been doing business here. We had people on the ground. You know, Cyril had the expertise,
long experience here.
You know, a huge experience, long experience here.
Air France, Carrefour.
So it was, hey, let's move, let's act on it, let's take it, our intrinsic advantages and leverage it.
Yeah.
And so it was obvious it was going to work everywhere else, you know, and to me, it's obvious that it's working here. And it's obvious that it's working here because we've had many successful companies that have come.
Oh, we're kicking butt now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I'm curious, was there ever a time when it was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, the greatest thing I think of what's helped China Accelerator be so successful here, you know, tenure in the fact that we've outlasted anybody else who's decided to come in and then left and come in and then left. You know, Innovation Works and all the others have kind of come and then died. And, you know, but we've just stuck with it. And that's all due to your faith and belief. I talk a lot about to other startups as well about looking at different funds and trying to explain what's the difference between a traditional VC fund, the way it's set up, versus an evergreen fund. Mm-hmm. And then we're an evergreen super angel fund, you know, at least SOS1 and the original one is. So, you know, there's a lot of differences, but sticking with it.
Well, I mean, that's just what being an entrepreneur teaches you, right? So, like, you have to be in it to win it. You have to be in it, you know? So, like, the question, you know, for any through line of any investment is, or any activity, anything investment, not any just financial investments, the thing you do with your lives, right? So the time that you spend, that investment as well, the through line that you have to look to is, you know, is this thing going to matter in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time? And for us, the question is China going to matter in 10 years' time or 20 years' time or 30 years' time? Duh.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I mean, already it's the number two economy in the world. It's likely to be number one, you know. So does it matter? You know, is it growing? Is it accelerating? Can we be a major player in that space? Does it make sense to stay in it to win it? So the challenge, of course, is just getting the right talent. Like, you know, You know, obviously having you on board as the glue that's held the organization together.
Thank you.
Is a key. And then bringing in William Baubien when Cyril moved on to do Hacks is an unbelievably great win for our organization and adds another 15 years of depth and experience in dealing with China and just a huge lineage of and a huge connection of the network. So we're still just heavily investing in this, right? So,
yes.
You know, everyone talks about how the LPs and all these VC funds are all just waiting for all these unicorns to exit. Well, you know, we're kind of waiting for our decacorns and, you know, whatever they are, or unicorns and whatever $100 million revenue companies, which we, you know, we're starting to hit a couple of companies that are started between 50 and 100 million now in revenues. We're looking to have some of those guys, you know, give us some financial returns. But at this point, we're just, you know, we're just in it. And we're just going to keep plowing in more money because we think in the end that there will be lots of great outcomes here.
Yeah.
And we know that it's providing transformative value to the people that are going through the programs.
And really helping build the startup community here.
Oh yeah. It's huge. Like, and as you know, Todd, you know, we're investing a lot into the startup community in China. We're sponsoring a lot of different, you know, organizations that wouldn't even necessarily be able to continue to do these events if we weren't you know, behind them.
Exactly. So, well, they're not going to get it from other places because there's not a huge, I think, mature belief in that kind of having that kind of attitude and philanthropic kind of attitude and kind of having that long-term vision here. So they just they struggle to find support and sponsorship.
Well, it's hard for us to be philanthropic about things as well because, you know, we just have to.
We don't even have as much cash as everybody else, but we're still doing it. I mean, we're still pretty lean. We're all entrepreneurs. We're investing everything we can in all the right places and really don't have a lot left over. But still, what we do have left over, we're still donating.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great to actually see these events. So we're doing something Sunday here, right? I think.
We're doing things. We support TechiZoo, which is kind of the longest running local organization that does all kinds of free events all the time. And one of the reasons they're able to keep everything free.
Is sponsorship.
So Bar Camp is coming up on the 26th of March, which is an unconference, and it's amazing over at NYU Shanghai. Yeah. They get like 800-900 people going there all day, and it's amazing.
And we do all those great events like 8x8s and things like that.
The 8x8s, Beijing Tech Hive, Fail Faster.
Yeah, there's loads of great stuff. And, you know, there's reasons why we do it. We'd love to see the deal flow that comes out of those things because we want for China Accelerator to succeed, right?
Yeah.
You know, we need the companies that are coming into China Accelerator to be more mature. And by creating an ecosystem where there's way more education about, about what it takes to make a startup succeed and, you know, all the various elements of product market fit, et cetera, just getting people to have the experiential, knowledge of how to do a startup, sharing that widely and freely to as many people as we can, that helps us in our leadership and continued leadership in China.
Tremendously. And the level of the water goes up, all the boats go up.
Absolutely.
And everybody benefits. Good time to take a quick break and thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, we would like to thank our sponsor, China Accelerator, for supporting us in our podcast. They are all about supporting entrepreneurs and the community, and this is what we really care about. They are the number one accelerator in China, basically the force to be reckoned with in the East, and they help people bring ideas into China globally and also help companies inside of China grow globally. I was in China Accelerator Batch 5 from personal experience. I can tell you the value that they bring to an idea, a team, a startup. And it's something that is something that you really want to look at when you're looking at accelerators, the mentor network and the quality of the team, the individuals, and the passion that the team has to help you and your idea grow. And China Accelerator absolutely excels in all these ways. And so You can find out more at ChinaAccelerator.com.
We also want to thank our other sponsor, PeopleSquared. You know, big shout out to Bob Jung, founder of PeopleSquared, you know, who got this up and running about 5 years ago. He's always been extremely supportive of entrepreneurs, which is why he ended up doing this after he had an exit and put together all these spaces. They've got a couple of new spaces now. They've got one in Zhengzhou and Hongqiao. They're putting together really interesting spaces, which is just for artists where they can actually move. It's out in the sticks, you know, quite a ways outside of Shanghai. But you can actually move out there and live out there for a certain amount of time, almost in a bit of a commune kind of way. And lots of artists can get together and, you know, great place for those that are coming traveling. If you're an artist traveling through China and you want to go on a bit of a retreat and meet with other local artists and enjoy some quiet time out there, that's a great place for you to do it. We just love everything that PeopleSquared stands for, because they're all about community and they're all about support, and they really get to know and understand all of the startups that that are part of the community that is PeopleSquared. You know, other places they might throw, you know, some free beer around or you know, have showers or some things like this. PeopleSquared just cares. They have a great community, they have great people, and they're going to do everything they can to help you. Is, you know, from giving you good internet in China, which is hard to do, to introducing you to amazing investors or even helping you find talent to join your team. So shout out to PeopleSquared and Bob Jung for supporting us, but more importantly, supporting entrepreneurship in China.
Hey everyone, we're back with the China Startup Pulse with our guest Sean O'Sullivan. So Sean, I want to ask about, what are your biggest takeaways in the challenge of starting up all of these accelerators all over the world? I mean, you're seeing this from like a super investor. You're seeing China. You're seeing all these opportunities all over the world. You must have a lot of insight and kind of perspective
on this. Innovating on the model of the traditional accelerator as well.
Yeah. Well, actually, so the first thing that SOSV did to the accelerator model that was different than what everyone else had done to that date is that we just took it vertical, right? We just said, okay. You know, the world of China, for example, with China Accelerator, is a completely different world than, you know, what's beyond the Great Firewall. And if anyone is trying to do software in China, you can't do it unless you're in China, right? So that's just the absolute truth. So there's a China internet and there's a non-China internet. So the fact that we focused on... the fact that we focused on making an accelerator available to people that are specific to, you know, one of the world's largest marketplaces was absolutely key. We did the same with Hacks, and that was the world's first hardware accelerator. And we did the same with IndieBio, which is the world's first accelerating life accelerator, biology and synthetic biology in particular, both in Cork and in San Francisco. So, like, being first is one thing. But being vertical is the key advantage to, you know, our appreciation as to how the accelerator model really needed to mature. By being able to go in deeply and really have huge amounts of knowledge to add, I mean, you couldn't go to a great program. You know, Techstars has loads of great programs in the world, but you couldn't go there and find somebody who knows WeChat backwards and forwards and e-commerce applications for the world of China.
So fast.
Yeah, and just the tools that you use. Everything's so different here because nothing is allowed inside of China, which is a painful thing for people who are dealing with the landscape.
Unless
for the
they
first
can
time.
Watch it and monitor it. I mean, one of the reasons, so LinkedIn has done a pretty good job here, you know, but when LinkedIn came in,
They
did
and
what
that's accessible.
Yeah. And it was what we, you know, William came up with it. He calls it the SEAL Team 6 strategy. It's like, get the best people possible, train them up to be as highly effective as possible, give them all the things that they need to do, fill them with resources, fly them in, drop them off, and let them do what they need to do. Yeah. And do not remote control them from the valley or anywhere else. Let them do what they need to know on the ground in the moment, fighting the battle, you know, locally. With radio silence basically from headquarters.
It's its own vertical.
And
it's
so what they did was they rebuilt the product from the code up and hosted it in China. So mm-hmm. LinkedIn.cn is a completely rebuilt, locally made product hosted here locally. It just seamlessly and integrates with LinkedIn.com, and you don't see the difference. But it is built and hosted locally, and it acts, and that's what the government wants.
Well, the government wants that, and the government also wants some things that some missions of, not to be too controversial here, but you know, the government also has some requirements for Chinese companies mm-hmm. in terms of so Google search could never have worked. Whereas on the other hand, with LinkedIn, that's about business networking. That's okay. Like, there's nothing, you know, mm-hmm. there's some social elements to it, which is, you know, about dissemination of sort of yeah. content and whatnot, yeah. which may be objectionable. But they seem to be getting yeah. away with what they're doing right now.
People putting their best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. So you can operate, and everything that we're doing with China Accelerator Hacks and all the companies and all the enablement that we're doing for getting companies to succeed in China, that's all very, very positive to for yeah. the China yeah. China marketplace. All the things that we're doing to try to help develop a more active and engaged startup community is all very, very positive.
You know, I see a little difference between the U.S. and China. I said this to a few people before, where, you know, I see in the West, I see a lot of Silicon Valley and startups and entrepreneurs, and they're striving forward, trying to create and innovate, with kind of the government being slower to grasp the necessity of this and kind of holding them back or being the piano tied to their ass, so to speak. Whereas in China, I think it's a little bit of the reverse, where you've got all the leaders, you know, their drive to create and move forward innovation and entrepreneurship is, you know, bound by the culture, which is holding them back. So I think they're more than happy to have people like us doing what we're doing yeah, here, spreading the word and trying to encourage, you know, innovation and creative thinking and outside the box type of stuff to break some of those molds to a degree.
Yeah. But there's room to grow within the limits. You got to know where you are.
We're just going to keep plowing away, getting our plow and work in the field.
Until somebody says we can't do it anymore, I guess. Yeah. until they really come and take the cow and the plow.
That's not going to happen. We are so strongly, advantageous to the ecosystems here that hopefully, God willing, we'll get by. Anyway, well, let's not get into that topic too much.
I have some more questions. You are really involved in humanitarian and work in terms of education, and you're a big supporter of STEM.
Yes.
So can you talk about why focus so much energy on STEM and this kind of, what is it, science, technology, engineering, and math?
Yeah. As you guys know, I've made hundreds of millions of dollars on investing in technology and in creating new technological innovation in the world, and things like, you know, cloud computing, which is the term I co-coined with George Favaloro, and maps on computers.
We can say
like that.
Cloud computing thanks to you.
Well,
because you left it open.
You could say that, but I have been able to, in my own life, go from being in poverty as a child to being able to spend and give a lot of money away as a, you know, quote unquote philanthropist, you know, because of being able to climb up the rungs of the ladder because of the technological enablement. So I see that capability of transforming lives through engineering and sciences as a key to advancing the quality of life of everyone on the planet. And that's why, actually, before I sort of implied a little bit about how it's too bad that more of the brightest minds in the West don't go into engineering, actually, partially because maybe they don't understand how creative and exciting it is. But we, you know, and there are so many that go into services industries instead, which are, there's just lawyers and doctors and things like that. it's so much more scalable to have that sort of that STEM sort of basis to be able to have a rising effect for the whole tide of humanity if you can bring innovation to a greater number of people. So that's why I say, okay, yeah, in terms of my giving back, it generally goes to education-related opportunities. And in my daily work, you know, with SOSV as an accelerator VC, that's what we do. You know, we're mm-hmm. constantly unveiling the secrets behind every industry, you know, the hidden gatekeepers and the connections and whatnot that enable people to move faster and move further in a shorter period of time. That's what our mission is as an organization. And along the way, hopefully we'll make some money doing it. Mm-hmm. So as to why I've given away millions and millions of dollars to STEM initiatives like the Khan Academy, that's their mission is very, you know, in tune with my own feeling, you know, a free world-class education for everyone, everywhere, anyone, anywhere, you know, that's something that will, in the end, it'll make my investments worth much more. So if I take a 20-year view,
yes,
which puts me in my 70s, by the way, 71 years old in 20 years. But if I take a 20 or 30-year view, I'm actually doing a very smart financial thing by plowing a lot of money into free education for everybody, because that'll enable a lot more successful businesses and a lot more societal change.
Yeah, you're creating a lot of thirsty people, and you own the only bar in town. So
no, actually, there's a lot of people that have those bars.
Yeah,
I'm doing my piece anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it is amazing. Sean, we have to get you off mic, out from under those headphones and off to your next meeting, because you are fully packed.
My God.
Fully packed today.
In Shanghai.
We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the podcast. Thank you for starting China Accelerator. Thank you for starting all the accelerators, building SOSV up to like the 55-60 odd people that we are now today, and doing everything that you do worldwide, supporting all the entrepreneurs.
Up until this moment, I did not even realize we had this soundproof room for recording podcasts. So I'm just this is a really nice setup here. It feels like I'm on a radio show. Or
it does a little bit,
CNN or something.
Thanks
okay,
so much.
Take care.
Thanks, bud.
Right, thank bye-bye. You.
All right, and thank you to all our listeners for listening. We really appreciate it, and we hope that you enjoy. Thank you, Ryan, for just being your bearded self. You're a wonderful human being.
My beard tries really hard.
Yeah, it's you've got good beard game. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, before we go, I have one favor to ask of you guys. I'm here with Chi Leo, our producer, and what do we want, Chi?
Hi, guys. Please write to us at team@chinastartuppulse.com.
Yeah. Because we really want to get your voice on the air. We will ask our next guest the questions that you write us. And who doesn't have any questions about China and startups, Chi?
Yeah, of course we do have a lot of questions.
Yeah, so give us a ping at team@chinastartuppulse.com.